You may be seated in case somebody forgot to tell you. Whenever I am introduced like that, I always say, God forgive them for saying all of that, and God forgive me for enjoying it. John, I don't know where you got off to, but that was great.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, John. That was great. If I could sing like that, I'd stick to singing myself. How about you? I never did learn how to preach. That's always... They taught me homiletics and hermeneutics. But it didn't work. I reserve the right to make a 90-degree turn any time. The cloud moves, the fire moves. Amen?
Amen.
No way are you going to put a peg in the ground and tie me to the peg. No way. No way. They tried it. I'm preaching to young people tonight, or talking, whatever you call it, I don't know. As George Hayes used to say, I reserve the right to shake the tree and shoot whatever falls out. The last time I preached, it was in this auditorium, right? I was preaching your district council and flew from here to Milan, Italy. Right from here. It wasn't easy from here. It's like trying to get to Springfield on Ozark. Those three swallows, John, on the back of that plane are not swallows, they're turkeys. But I flew from here to Milan, Italy, actually bleeding to death on the inside. The doctor said that I had been bleeding for 3 days on the inside, got to Milan, and then drove to Switzerland. And that's when my world came apart. And for 1 month, I lay flat on my back in Switzerland. I hate mountains. People would come into my room and say, oh, isn't that a beautiful mountain? I said, I hate it. I eat up a lot of mountains in a hurry. I like to see. But I thought I was gone. But I made it. You know, the beautiful part of it is, I belong to the only thing that if I don't make it, I've still made it. Amen? So I'm going to hang in there. Last summer, a year ago, they took out 60% of my stomach. My gallbladder, everything else they could. Don't ever let them open you up. They think it's free. $13,000 worth of surgery. Wound up with pneumonia. Blood clot in the left lung. They said he won't make it. But I'm still in business. My face is already worn out, three bodies, but I'm going to make it. Amen. How many of you feel like you're going to make it? Let me see your hand. Amen. Remember, We belong to the only thing that will survive. When the great monetary systems of the world are gone, when the great political systems are gone, when the world lies in ruin, every blade of grass and every animal and everything is destroyed, there is one thing that will remain, and it will have the stamp of eternity upon it. It will be the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to stay with the church because it's the only thing in the end that's going to make it. Amen. Not business, not politics, not academics, and I have nothing against any of them, but mister, I, after preaching 42 years, I'm not that old, I got started early, but after 42 years, I am convinced, buddy, that I belong to the great survivor. Amen. He survived death and hell and the grave and came bursting forth to declare, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the power and the glory. I am the grace and I am the victory. Hallelujah. And I am eternal. Amen. And I'm going to stay with it because he is eternal. Amen. I have to drink a little water. I have a problem with dehydration. Some people say I'm just dry. I've heard all the remarks about how much water it takes to run a windmill and all that. I've heard all of that. But long after some of you won't even be able to drink, I'll still be preaching and drinking a little water. Amen. If you say it's going to kill you, it'll kill you. It'll kill you. This is Speed of Light night. Thank you, Brother Smith, for doing a tremendous job, and I didn't have to sit through 91 plaques one at a time, shaking hands, taking a picture. That was beautiful. Dear Lord, what do you want for $1,000? Amen. Next year, we're expecting two. So hang in there. Speed of Light has set missions in the Assemblies of God, set the missionary program ahead 15 years of any other mission. Amen? Speed of Light has gone where nothing else and go. Not only with its automobiles and its trucks and its jeeps, but with its printed word from the presses of Speed to Light presses that I can hear them now rolling throughout the night, turning out literature where no missionary can go. I was a missionary before Speed to Light. I had a bicycle. I hate bicycles. I used to do 125 miles a day over African trails on a bicycle. We had a lot of thorns, you know. And we always had to patch a tube about every hour or so. And we used to patch a tube until we'd get patches all over the outside till there were no place to put patches. Now what do? You cut the tube in two, turn it inside out, glue it together, and start patching on the inside, which is now the outside. Amen. If no one else thanks God for speed to light, I do. I remember the first speed to light vehicle I had was a little one-lunger motorcycle. I wore out three Jeeps, 2 5-ton trucks, a Dodge Paul wagon, 5 automobiles, 2 Harley Davidsons, and some bicycles. Sixteen years of pioneer work. I remember once when I had this little one-lunger and we had taken the first materials down. We were opening up among the naked Sombas and Tacumbas and the Uwabus down in northern Dahomey. They were naked. They wore sleeveless earrings. That's what I always... I have to say that because people sit there and they don't think they were naked. I had a man come through, and it was when visitors first started coming to see what the missionaries were doing. And he was shocked. He said, "Greenaway." Well, the lady said, "Greenaway, you could put pants on the Christian." I said, "I didn't come here to be their tailor. They want to wear pants? Let them wear them, but I'm going to make them." I said, "If I put pants on the Christians, I said, in 6 months' time, the great and beautiful gospel that I came to preach to these people would be reduced to a pair of pants." I said, "What would happen if you lose your pants? You're not a Christian. What would happen if somebody backslid and sold their pants? Oh, you're a Christian." That's a lot of foolishness. I took this preacher to Sunday morning service, and we had about 500 naked Sombas sitting out there. Better drive a clothesline preacher straight up the wall. But I've been around a little. I've seen them being filled with the Holy Spirit naked as the day they were born. Oh, today, if you were to go, the preachers, and they would be dressed as well as we are dressed. And there came a day when they wore clothing, and they wear clothing today. But, mister, it had to be their own idea, not mine. The gospel is all powerful. He knows what to do. And so I got this man up to preach, and I said, "What's your text?" I was going to interpret for him. And he pulled out an old Arkansas camp meeting sermon, and I knew I was in trouble. I'd heard it before. 500 naked Sombas. He's going to preach, "Man goeth to his long home." And I was telling him about the big chief in the sky and how the big chief became the big Lamb of God, etc., etc. Simple, simple, simple. And now he's going to preach a deep, profound theological truth. God help us. What am I going to do? But the Lord help me. I got an idea. And when I get an inspiration, somebody, well, that's all right. But anyway, I said, all right, let's go. He read his text, I read mine. He told them his deep, profound theological story. I was telling them every time he said something, I was telling them about the big chief in the sky and how the big chief came to be the big lamb. And that morning we had a break and had a number of those people saved. There was a real move of God. And when I was taking him back to the mission house, he said, Greenaway, I have preached that sermon all over the world, but I had more success with it this morning than I ever had in my life. I said, it just goes to show you, buddy, when you're hot, you're hot. Listen to the crowd. You listen to the voice. Who said, hear ye him. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. I'm sticking with the son tonight. That's our victory. I'm going to read an old text. I don't usually tell people where my text is because they spend all night trying to find it. I'm halfway through preaching. She turns to him and said, but they missed half my sermon. Read it when you go home. Brother Anderson, it's a joy to be with you tonight. You know, I preach around this world, but somehow, you know, I've been preaching for more than 30 years here in Texas, and I always feel a kindred spirit and always feel at home. Some of the greatest friends I have are right here in this audience tonight.
I hope they are.
The words which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise. It's an old scripture. An old message. Arise and go to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house. And behold, he wrought a work. Now that can be interpreted a masterpiece. He wrought a masterpiece on the wheels. And the vessel of clay, the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. You know, a masterpiece can be marred. I used to live in Paris many years ago when I studied French at the Sorbonne. I lived three doors from the prodigy of Picasso. And I used to go down sometimes in the evening and watch him work. And he would do what I thought was a masterpiece, and suddenly he'd grab it and tear it to shreds.
In a fit of anger. I said, what'd you do that for? He said it had a flaw in it, and I couldn't get the flaw out of it. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, and the potter desperately trying to make a masterpiece, he thought, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so ye are in whose hands? The hands of the assemblies of God? The hands of a political movement? No. He said, so are ye in my hand. Amen. You are in my hand. And the older I get and the further I go, the more I realize that I am bought with a price. I'm not my own. I'm still in his hand. Amen. And the beautiful thing I like about being in the hands of God, that even though I crumble, he takes the pieces, young people. He gathers them again and tries again. Amen. He never quits. He never quits. Tonight, young people, I know from experience that God is not going to give up on you. Amen? You may crumble. Your world may come to an end. But if you hang on, hang in, and stay with it, he'll try again. Amen? Because ye are in the hands of the Master. Amen. Now, mister, I've learned from experience, if you're going to be in anybody's hand, be in the hands of the Master. No wonder David said, let me fall into the hands of God, because God was the Master. The wheel may change. The clay today may be molded in different shapes. The fire may change, and it may be an electric furnace, but friends, clay is still clay. The potter is still a potter. The fire is still a fire. And if I was saying anything tonight, I would say I want to speak to you for a few moments on clay, wheel, and fire. Amen? I'm not talking about a pile of mud. Mud is not clay. Clay is something you can do something with. Hey, then. When God saves us, he makes us clay. And in even a pile of clay is nothing in itself. Nothing. I don't care how much you stand up, young people, and say tonight, I am a Christian. That is not enough. Are you in the hands of the potter? Is he designing your life? Amen. Has he got you on the wheel? You can reject him tonight. You can reject the will of God for your life, but I'll tell you this one thing. God wants all of you, or he wants none of you. Amen? How many of you say tonight, Greenaway, God, here I am, I give you my all. Let me see your hands. Amen. Say it, I give you my all. Say it again. I give you my all. I give you. You are the great potter. I am in your hands. I was a dirty-faced kid selling newspapers on the street corner. When nobody cared for my life. I had no father to fight my battles. A mother who worked all day. We were poor. So poor, we used to say we just painted our feet black and laced up our toes. We were poor. When the 29 bank crash came, we were the only people in town that had a prayer meeting. Because we were the only people that hadn't lost anything. My mother and my father had put it up where moth does not corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. Amen. I've told you this before. It'll bear repeating because I'm preaching to young people tonight. The rest of you can listen. Make it easy on yourself. I was full of the devil. I could curse for 15 minutes and not say the same word twice. The only talent I had was I could fight. I came from a long line of Irish that were ready for a fight, fun, funeral, or frolic. Whichever came first didn't make any difference. We could handle any of them. But one night, I got on the potter's wheel. Amen. He looked at that pile of clay, and he must have called for help from the Father. But he saved me. He saved me. He saved me. And buddy, when I got saved, I got saved. Hallelujah, ran all the way home. Mom heard me coming in the house. I said, Mom, she said, you got saved. I said, how'd you know? When a mom prays for her boys all of their lives, she knows when something happens. Amen. I said, I got saved. She said, I knew it. I went back to church. The next night, if you young people think you got problems, John, I went back to church the next night and sat in the back.
If you get saved, for heaven's sake, get up front. Don't ever sit in the back. I got down, sat down behind two dear old ladies that had been in the way for 30 years. They were having a revival. It always amuses me when I hear people, are you with me? Let me see your hands. It always amazes me when I hear people say, we're going to have a revival. It's going to start on the 10th and end on the 30th. You can have a protracted meeting, but only God can have a revival. I saw a sign on the church that said, revival every night except Monday. You wonder what in the world happened on Monday. You know, I've been preaching 42 years, and every day has been a revival. Amen. And I expect tonight to be a revival. And tomorrow is going to be a revival. And the next day is going to be a revival. Amen. Until the trumpet sounds and I go winging my way home. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I sat down behind those two dear old ladies. One of them had been away, and she said, how did the meeting go? And I was the only person saved in 3-week meeting. And the other lady said, it wasn't much. How could you have a revival like that? I better not say. And boy, I began to, you know, rise up on the inside. I was saved, but I wasn't sanctified yet. The reason I know it was, I went to school the next day after I was saved and a kid. And the news went around town that I had gotten saved, and this kid called me a holy roller in the hall, and I just pulled back and let him have one and flattened him before I forgot I was saved, and flattened him on the schoolhouse floor, and I said, buddy, don't you ever call me that name again. And I went through school without any persecution. Now, the Lord worked. I don't mean I went around slapping everybody. No, that was the last one. But anyway, the Lord helped me. Now you understand why when the potter gets some clay on that wheel, that it doesn't always work out. Sometimes it crumbles. But thank God, the potter, if you will stay on the wheel, amen, it's rough, it's tough, it's wild sometimes, but if you stay on the wheel, hallelujah, he will make a vessel. Amen. That's fit for the master's use. Amen. If you stay on the wheel. Amen. First, you got to be clay, and second, you've got to stay on the wheel. How many of you can say, I'm going to stay on the wheel? Say it. Say it again. Say it again. You don't know what you're saying, but it'll hit you. Mister, when you're on it, stay on it. Amen. It's your only hope. You get off the wheel, you're dead. And finally, this one dear old sister said to the other one, she said, well, she said, you know the Greenaway Boys. Everybody knew the Greenaway Boys. When they didn't know who to blame it on, they blamed it on the Greenaway Boys. She said, you know the one they called Charlie? Of course they knew Charlie. He was the worst one of the bunch. And she said, but he went, I was sitting right behind him. She said, he went to the altar. But she said, you can't count on that. I made up my mind that night that I would follow Jesus if for no other reason than to spike those two old ladies. And it has cost me something to stay on the wheel. And it'll cost you something to stay on the wheel. Oh, I want to be used of God, some people say, but I don't want to stay on the wheel. You'll never be used, young people, until you've learned to stay on the wheel, until he has a finished project. I went to Bible school, graduated from our little Bible school, and voted the boy the most unlikely to succeed. I lecture now as a visiting professor at that Bible college. I have forgiven him, but I haven't forgotten him. But, mister, I know from divine experience, amen, that if you stay on the wheel, he'll come up with something, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. Amen. Joseph, the Bible said, God sent him. Oh, people say, if his brothers had not done thus and so, if his brothers had done thus and so, no way, man, listen, what Joseph's brothers did was nothing. The mess that Potiphar got him into was nothing. It was all in the design. God had Joseph on the wheel, and he was making a perfect, hallelujah, vessel that he could use down the road. Amen. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Like Moses of old, trying to lead that stubborn outfit, running around in 11 square miles. No wonder God took him. He was glad to get away from that bunch. You know, some people say, well, Moses never got to the promised land. Don't kid yourself, buddy. He did better. He got away from that bunch. You talk about promised land. What in the world was he living with? But God took Moses before he let him die. Appointed by God. But God took him up on Mount Pisgah's lofty heights. 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 feet in an airliner. 36,000 feet in the air. You can see for maybe 200 miles. But before Moses died, don't forget that the man that had him on the wheel took him up, hallelujah. He said, Moses, you are a perfected vessel. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm going to take you and I'm going to show you something. And he took him up on Mount Pisgah's lofty heights and to some telescopic sight and vision of God. Oh, hallelujah. He let Moses look all the way into the promised land. Amen. And Moses looked all the way to the Mediterranean. He said, God, that's a man's dream. God said, are you kidding? He said, you leave that bunch. I've got
No, I better not get near that. But anyway, that'll preach. God buried Moses where they couldn't even find his bones. He knew if they found his bones, they'd dig him up and they'd still be carrying his bones around. Still wandering around in the wilderness. Amen. God said, Joshua, Moses is dead. Forget it. But you get up, friends, tonight. Moses is dead. Yesterday is dead. Last week is dead. Last month is dead. Last year is dead. 42 years ago for me is dead. But today is alive. Hallelujah. He set Crean away. Get up. Get up. Get up, hallelujah, and cross the river, and cross the plains, and climb your mountains, amen, and keep going until the going down of the sun. You know what that means? You never quit. Stay on the wheel. Amen. When does the wheel stop, Greenaway? When he quits looking at you. As long as the potter has that clay on the wheel, he's looking at the clay. Amen. Amen. Young people tonight, stay on the wheel of experience. Young people, I can look back over my own life and thank God that He saved me, took me. Why, the first man that I told God called me to preach was a deacon in the church. I said, you know what? I was all excited. I said, God called me to preach. He said, you? I said, me. I hate to be tied to this, and I hate to handle it. I wasn't going to let some old deacon, some dear deacon, keep me from preaching the gospel. And God has allowed me to preach the gospel to the end of the earth. Did you know that? For 36 years I've been in missions. I've preached this gospel around the world and around the world and around the world. And I have seen thousands come by the way of the cross and thousands baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've got so many things going right now. If half of them work out, I got it made. Amen. But I got news for you, mister. The older you get and the further you go, don't think the wheel stops. No way. Brother Anderson, I am convinced this year of my life has actually been the hardest year of my life. I used to think that when you got older, things would level off and smooth out and you could kind of ride, you know, but you can't, buddy. It gets harder as you go along. It gets greater as you go along. The trials become greater and the darkness becomes greater. But I have discovered that He becomes greater also. Amen. In comparison, hallelujah. Amen. We've got a lot of people today, and I exhort you younger preachers, in the name of God, in the name of God, please don't run all over the country trying to figure out how to build a church.
If you'll only stop and think the people that built them stayed where they were. Are you with me? I've got a little rough there. There's no easy way. Every piece must go into the fire. They must not touch one another. God keeps us separated. Don't try to be like the world, or like your buddy, or like your friend, or like the preacher next to you. In the name of God, be the vessel that has come out of the wheel and stood your fire. Amen. You are your own man. Amen. There's one thing I love, Davis, about following God, and that is the fact that each one of us can be our own person. Amen. God, let me tell you this. God won't use a vessel he hasn't made. Young people, you go ahead and make your own lives. Make your own vessel. Make your own academical, philosophical, psychological world and live in it. But if it is your own doing, don't expect God's blessing to be upon it. Amen. God only uses what he makes. Amen. Amen. Stay on the wheel. Stay in the furnace. Because when you come out, you're going to come out a vessel fit for the master's use. Amen. Amen. I love oil paintings, and occasionally, once in a while, I get a chance around the world to see some of the famous art exhibits of the world, and I always attend if I have the time. But you'll find that a master never hangs anything in that exhibition unless it is a masterpiece in his own mind. And God does not use you in the way that you need to be used, young people, unless he has taken you as the clay, put you on the wheel, and moved you into the furnace. And you have come forth. He made it. He knows what it can take. Amen. People are always afraid I'm going to die. I am. They say, Greenaway, you're killing yourself. I said, that's what I'm trying to do. What do you want to do, live forever? They said, Greenaway, you've got a jog, you know. I said, you need a preacher. I draw enough oxygen through my lungs in one sermon, you'd have to jog till Christmas. Stay with it because I got a winner. Amen. There's no way. If I'm clay, there's no way if I've stayed on the wheel, there's no way if I've stayed in the furnace that I will not come forth a vessel fit for the master's use. And he will help me. Amen. He will bless me. Amen.
You think sometimes, young people, that God doesn't love you? Why does this happen to me? He loves you. I tell you what. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But I've learned that there's been 1,000 times I wanted to get off this wheel. Now I'm confessing. I want to get off the wheel. God, I'm tired. Do you ever feel like getting off the wheel? If you didn't, you're either lying or you're naive. I quit every morning when I'm shaving. I say, I quit, forget it. And there's nothing wrong with quitting while you're shaving. If you show up at the office at 8 o'clock. Amen. Don't think that you're the only person that ever thought of quitting. I know pastors that quit every Monday morning. But, mister, you stay on the wheel. You stay in the furnace. Amen. And the vessel comes forth. Oh, beautiful to behold. Do you know what finally, in the last analysis, happened to all the pieces of the pottery that could not be molded? After the potter tried and tried and tried and tried, he tried and he could not mold anything out of them. They were finally thrown away into a place called the potter's field. It had no value. That's where the name Potter's Field came from. And yet, even Judas, in his remorse, came in and threw down his 30 pieces of silver. And there was a law that said blood money could not be put in the treasury. So they took the money and they bought a potter's field. The price of our Savior. The price of our Master. Bought the potter's field. Amen. But as Moses stood on Mount Pisgah's lofty height and looked all the way to the Mediterranean, come over to the New Testament and find that there was a man called Jesus who climbed another hill, Calvary's rugged hill, and there from a cruel cross he saw to the ends of the earth. And with his blood he bought the potter's field. He bought the field. Not for the field itself, but for the treasure that was in it. Amen. And tonight, he still looks down. Goodbye. The broken pieces. He can do what no one else can do. I shall flee away I had no talent. I had nothing but poverty and wretchedness and cold and hunger. I was a reject of my own society. People said, you can't preach. You could never be a missionary. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. But he that bought the field for the treasure that was in it, hallelujah, he took me and lifted me up, hallelujah, and redeemed me, hallelujah, because I stayed on the wheel. He calabarandalabashandaya, for who can declare his glory? I stayed on the wheel. I stayed in the furnace. He bought the field on Calvary. Amen. Young people tonight, he bought it for you. How many young people are here tonight under the age of 30 years old? Will you stand? How many of you can say, Brother Greenaway, I'm going to stay on the wheel tonight? Let me see your hand. All right, will you get out of your seats and walk down here? Just stand. Come on up close. Don't block those aisles. Everybody beneath the age of 30 years old. Oh, the potter. Potter is here tonight. Come on, get in close, please. Because he lives. Can you sing it, John?
Because he lives, I can sing.